All right. Well, as we touted earlier in the introduction, we're looking for heroes, and we hope you will be among the next crop of them serving the American Red Cross of Connecticut, which takes care of more than 3.5 million Connecticut residents in 168 towns in Hartford, Fairfield, Litchfield, Middlesex, New Haven, New London, Tolland, and Windham counties, plus, hello, Fishers Island, New York. They're out there as well. Our guest this morning, Richard Brannigan, is the CEO of Red Cross of Connecticut and Rhode Island. So hopefully we've got some folks on the edge of the border there who are listening to us live on the air this morning, or at least tuning in on the podcast once that's released in a little while. Richard, good morning. Thanks for joining us. So much attention is being devoted westward. And yet, as I mentioned to you before we turned on the microphone, every day I am getting notices from your American Red Cross office about not one, sometimes two or even three fires somewhere in Connecticut that have displaced people and have caused damage to the extent that the Red Cross needs to respond. And, you know, as we said, bless these heroes that you've got on board so far, but they not only need to be fortified with some reserves, but they also embody a fantastic historical knowledge that they can share and mentor newcomers with.
Yeah, John, calling them heroes, calling our disaster action team members heroes is absolutely appropriate. They're as heroic as the volunteers who are delivering blood for us every day and the volunteers who are helping collect blood at blood drives by being a blood donor ambassador or to do training for CPR and first aid. About 90% of our workforce here at the American Red Cross is volunteer, and that includes especially our folks who serve in the disaster teams and who respond, as you suggested, to those fires every day and night, because they're going out sometimes in the middle of the night. We are not first responders, but we are on scene typically as the fire department hoses are being rolled up. We're typically deploying some folks that will roll into the scene and help those people who unfortunately have been displaced by a fire in their place of residence. And it happens all too frequently. And at this time of year in the winter, the numbers kick up even greater. So as soon as we turn the daylight savings clocks back and people turn on their space heaters and their ovens and a whole bunch of other things and the holidays hit, the frequency of fires really increases, and the need for us to have those volunteers out there on a daily and nightly basis is never more urgent.
Yeah, and I have to say the component of that you just mentioned, the prevention that the Red Cross plays an important role in. I mean, our fire departments, especially our smaller volunteer departments and fire marshal's offices, are typically pressed to the wall in terms of demand, just getting the day-to-day stuff down. They don't have a huge amount of time to do prevention work, and the Red Cross has stepped up in a big way, whether it's cautioning people about Christmas lights and extension cords, or the risk of Christmas tree fires, to changing the batteries and smoke and carbon monoxide detectors. You're as much the bookend to the left as you are the bookend to the right when disaster does strike.
Yeah, John, our preparedness, our home preparedness and education programs are really, really important. And, you know, we're an older organization. We were founded in 1881. The first chapter here in Connecticut, I believe, was 1897 down in the Fairfield County area. But we've been educating folks on the need for preparedness. And we do it in a very modern way, not just on our website, but we have emergency apps that folks could download and they can learn about home preparedness. They can learn about first aid. You know, it's a very convenient and modern way to do things. They can sign on to the blood donor app or the emergency app to know where shelters are available in their own community based on their GPS location. So a lot of good information out there, a lot of great resources that the public can easily take advantage free of charge. And educate and improve their own resilience in the process.
Yeah. So does Connecticut, does your office have boots on the ground in LA?
You know, we've sent some folks from Connecticut to the LA wildfires. In fact, our chief development officer is out there helping with the fundraising that's going on. And we have some folks that are deployed virtually that are doing family reunifications. We have some other folks on standby for sheltering. In taking care of the folks who had to leave their homes, they were forced to evacuate. So we've been supporting that operation for the last number of weeks, and unfortunately, it continues to flare up literally. And we have some folks on standby, but we're a national organization, and we're deploying volunteers. And we just finished a significant round of deployments with the hurricane, quote unquote, season. We don't have seasons any longer, it seems. Right. But Helene and Milton, we were part of cadres of thousands of volunteers who went down south to the Carolinas, Tennessee, Florida, and the states in between to respond to hurricanes that were devastating. But wildfires are surely top of mind for us right now. And we're doing an amazing job out there supporting those communities that are so devastated.
Yeah. Well, if folks want to learn more, because we could probably spend the entire segment just talking about disaster services and the volunteering program, they can go to any search engine and search for Red Cross Connecticut. Once you get to the homepage for the American Red Cross of Connecticut, you can either hit the training and certification or the volunteer tabs and learn all about the specifics. Certainly, volunteers are not pressed to go outside of their own, comfort zone, if you will, wherever they want to go to be able to help, or however distance they want to travel, whether it's in their own community or the region that they live in Connecticut, or to points far flung to help folks that they may have never even known before, like your team out in LA. So people can go to the website for that. But you also mentioned another important thing, and that is the heroes who are stepping up with donations. And I'd like to just give you a quick opportunity to remind people who are moved by this but worried about giving money or pushing money in the wrong or inappropriate direction. Give them an idea of how their donations are going to work for those most in need when they donate to the Red Cross.
Yeah, John, thank you. The interesting part about the American Red Cross is we are chartered by Congress to respond to disaster. Our charters also include supporting the military and international relief. That disaster response charter requires us to be there. We're going to be there for the long haul in California, just like we're still working in the Carolinas and down in Florida.
And Maui, right?
And in Maui, yeah. 2 years after the fact, we're helping to rebuild Maui and Lahaina. And we stay in it, not just because we're required to by Congress, but we are a humanitarian organization. We're part of a worldwide network, the Red Crescent Movement, that focuses on helping people in need. And there's no greater need than after a disaster. And we're seeing that play out in the LA County area right now. So we'll be there for the long haul. The thing that confuses people sometimes is I say we're chartered by Congress, so we're going to respond, but we're not funded by Congress to respond to disaster like FEMA is or some of the other federal agencies. We're funded by the generosity of the American public. And that means the folks that are listening to this broadcast, the corporate donors that we have, the individuals across the country and right here in our own Connecticut and Rhode Island listening area, they're the ones that fuel the engine. They're the ones that help us deliver the mission. And through our volunteer network, we're able to do that. And having volunteers delivering that mission, you know, as opposed to paid staff, makes all the sense in the world, because we're a voluntary-led organization. And, you know, it's so much more economical to have our volunteers out there doing the lion's share of the work when you think about it. So the resources that we're expending are going to the right locations. And in the case of California, we're taking care of the immediate needs now. We're offering financial assistance to folks that had been displaced. And in some cases, there's no chance of going back to their homes. They've been completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. But we'll be there for the long haul as well. We'll be part of the community solution as we are in Lahaina and on Maui, in working with local community groups and working in long-term recovery and basically employing local residents to come work as part of the Red Cross mission to deliver those services and bring those communities back to a point of vitality going forward. So when they invest in us, they're investing in a mission that delivers hope to those communities impacted by disaster.
And I imagine that investment is most directly delivered and safely handled by donating directly through the redcross.org website. Don't trust a Facebook site that says, click below to donate to the Red Cross immediately, or to other sites that promise a pass through. The direct donation through redcross.org is the surest and most secure way to put any dollar that you can spare to work faster on behalf of Red Cross.
Yeah, John, thanks for that point. And on average, 91 cents on our dollar received is going into the delivery of our services, again, through our volunteers and through our network. And we work in conjunction with local communities. So in California, just like in Maui and just like in the Carolinas and Florida, we're working with local communities, political leaders, emergency managers, fire departments, religious groups, you know, all of the partners at the table that to make sure that we're in the right locations and delivering services to those that need it most. And in many cases, since we're a neutral organization, we're looking out for those people also that are not represented at those tables traditionally. So our services are just the same as they are in other countries around the world. We're a neutral humanitarian organization here in the United States.
Great. We've got a few more minutes with Richard Brannigan, CEO of Red Cross of Connecticut and Rhode Island. Certainly another life-saving and life-sustaining initiative of the Red Cross. Could be helping folks, many, many folks who are listening to our conversation this morning. Certainly their neighbors, friends, coworkers, and others, family members. And I'm talking about blood services. And while the major bulk of Red Cross outreach now has been around disaster services, we least not forget how critical the blood services needs are, and also to the heroes who give and give and give to as blood donors.
Yeah, John, talk about heroes. The folks that come in and roll up their sleeve and are platelet donors or come in to a blood drive and they come in with a purpose in mind and they leave with that sense of satisfaction that they've really impacted in a very, very positive way, a life of someone they don't even know, but a simple act of donating blood is something not everyone does. Although, you know, a number of people are qualified to do that, not everyone steps up. And at this time of year, with snowstorms and cold and flu season and distractions with devastating wildfires in California that impact our abilities nationally to collect blood, you know, there's no time like the present. The need for blood is constant. The need in hospitals and trauma victims and cancer patients, and we all know someone who has either received blood somewhere along the line or as a family member knows someone, or been a donor of blood or blood products like platelets in the past. But there's no time like the present to do that. Again, finding a blood drive is as simple as logging onto our website, typing in your zip code, and you can find a blood drive near you, make an appointment. And the process takes for a blood donation It usually takes about an hour of time to make that happen, and you really feel good about what you've done to help a fellow human being.
There's virtually a blood drive happening almost 7 days a week somewhere in Connecticut, likely close enough to anyone listening to be able to respond with a short drive, which will potentially save a life. And we hope folks will get involved with that. Once again, redcross.org or web search American Red Cross of Connecticut. Go to their website and you can learn all about it and learn all about the various criteria and things you need to know and things you need to bring and stuff like that. The other thing, and I know we didn't really touch on this as a prompt ahead of our conversation, Richard, but I know you can speak to it as we turn our attention out of this icebox of cold here as it starts to warm up as our program broadcasts on Sunday. It's still nowhere near swimming season unless you're a super brave and experienced. But the Red Cross, it's never too early to think about water safety. And the Red Cross also plays a critical role in helping to train countless people to learn how to swim and to be instructors for swimming lessons, right?
Oh, absolutely. The core curriculum for water safety is based on Red Cross standards that were started just over 100 years ago. And so we're the first to write the book on water safety. We continue to push that out. We share with our partners in local camps and in recreation facilities and so forth that train people to prevent drowning, but also to learn how to swim. And that's a lifetime learning. Once you know how to swim, it's not something you easily forget. To be trained as a lifeguard or to be trained as a water safety instructor following our standards brings that to another level. That was one of the trainings I took when I was in high school. I was trained to be a lifeguard through Red Cross, and it was first opportunity I had to give back to my community was through Red Cross. And I know you have a personal experience as well with that, John.
Yes. And in terms of lifeguards, I mean, now's the time to start thinking about that training, because when the desperate call for help from parks and recreation departments or public pool facilities and beach clubs and things go out in April or May, you still have to go through the certification, and you may not actually get on the job for the amount of time where the need is heightened. So now's the time to start thinking about becoming a lifeguard and getting trained through this century-old Red Cross established training and certification program. Richard, I thank you so much for taking time to talk to us and our listeners this morning about these critically important things. The call for heroes, folks, we really need you here in Connecticut and points beyond to respond to the tragedies and disasters of your neighbors. You can do that or become a responsible donor to help the Red Cross carry out those efforts. Of course, the call for blood is a daily critical need here in Connecticut, or as we just mentioned, maybe it's just about diving into swimming lessons and becoming a certified Red Cross lifeguard. Richard, thank you so much for the time this morning. Redcross.org is the place to start, or just web search American Red Cross of Connecticut. Richard is the CEO of Red Cross of Connecticut and Rhode Island. Richard, we'll talk to you again. Thanks so much.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
From lengthening mascara to smoky eyes, complete your fall look with Thrive Cosmetics. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.